Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, we do have very fancy guests at WGN Radio. You can call us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You could text us. Let me see. There it is. I turned on the text, so now you can. Same phone number, 312-981-7200. So, Kristen, by the way, I want to talk, Kristen, about Cesar Millan and that whole pig thing. Kristen Lanigan, president of Friends of Animal Care and Control.
Good morning.
And a friend of this radio show. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Steve?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. But I just saw, so I mentioned I was at the Western Veterinary Conference, and I just saw Cesar Millan there. We chit-chatted for a little while, as we do when we see one another, but I did not know at that time. I had heard something about this segment with a pig or two, but yeah. I didn't know anything about it, you know. So I really couldn't ask him about it, but now I've seen it, and I will comment on that in just a couple of minutes. You are here to talk about Friends of Animal Care and Control. First of all, explain who you are, not personally, but I mean Friends of Animal Care and Control.
We are a small organization, Steve, with a big task, and we aim to support and rescue the animals, over 22,000 of them, which land at Chicago Animal Care and Control annually.
Well, the other thing is Chicago Animal Care and Control, and Charlie Propsom and some other people figured this out, gosh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago at this point, that the city, it's a government facility. It's the municipal facility for the city of Chicago, what might have been called 20 years ago the Chicago Pound. And every city of any size has a similar facility. You know, major cities around the country, mid-sized cities, have an animal care and control facility. So that's good, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. So Chicago's, like all the others, are funded by city government. Well, city government funding is only going to take you so far. So she figured out some time ago, we need a not-for-profit arm of this. And that's what Friends is?
Right. And we're just looking to the animals that find themselves at Chicago Animal Care and Control for whatever reason, whether it's neglect, abuse, or maybe it's just a family moving away that can't take their animal. We want to make their time at the shelter very comfortable, humane, and hopefully find them another home.
And that's challenging to do because of sheer numbers. Although I'll tell you, Chicago, so there was this TV report that got me really mad because there's several of them who have gotten me really mad over the years. Listen, animal care and control is hardly perfect, but hardly. But the good news is, first of all, a new director will fairly soon, I don't know when, be named that will be coming on board that I believe will be a professional. So it'll be a professional hire, thank you, Mayor, rather than a political hire, which it historically has been. So my presumption is it's someone who will have knowledge and experience in the world of animal control. So that's a good thing in of itself. But it's challenging because a lot of people still give up. Well, Chicago is doing far better as a city. So here's the truth. And I want you to talk about this because people complain about this all the time. And yes, too many animals still get killed, euthanized, but they're killed, you know. But we are doing far better as a city with every year than we have in previous years for a whole lot of reasons. You're one of them. Another is the rescue facilities that come in and take these animals that work with the city of Chicago. They are amazing. I'm talking about you cat rescuers, you know who you are, especially. They're incredible because these cats as kittens, if you can get them out of there quickly and get them in the foster homes, you're probably saving a life. Not only are they more likely to be adopted and adopted as better pets, but in addition to that, they're more likely to live because as little kittens crowded together in any shelter anywhere, they are far more likely to get sick. So anyway, I want you to talk about how Animal Care and Control, and I assume you agree with me, sometimes gets a bum rap.
You know, I agree with you 110%, Steve. I think that the morale at the shelter is definitely positive. People are really excited about this new director. It's a new time. There will be new ideas. The volunteers there are wonderful. And I can't tell you how many people say, oh, Chicago Animal Care and Control, I didn't know about that place. What is it? But there are more and more volunteers coming in and awareness. We just had a company by the name of Salesforce on Friday that came in. They volunteered as their team outing.
Wow.
So there's a lot more excitement around it. When you speak of Charlie Propsom and back in the 1990s, when she found Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, the release rates for animals to get out of the shelter were anywhere from 3 to 7%. Most recently, those numbers reach almost 85% of those animals are getting out of there alive.
Yeah. And you're and Charlie and some wonderful employees over the years and many volunteers are, as a group, responsible for that. But I would also credit our current mayor. And, you know, I mean, what the Emanuel administration right now is doing is saying, okay, maybe ourselves and others, really it was others because the mayor didn't. So the retiring executive director of Animal Care and Control, he named, but she had been there for a while. And at this point in her life, she was a professional too. I mean, that's not how she began her career.
Right.
But she had been there for many, many years and I think did fine, to tell you the truth, overall. And now he said, we want to bring in a professional, which I applaud 4,000%. It is 16 minutes before 7 o'clock. When we come back, I do want to talk to you about an event coming up, a couple of things, you know, including an opportunity for low-cost help for people that need it. I'll explain what that's all about, and yes, I'll talk about Cesar Millan. Supposed to be one more commercial there. I guess that's not the case. Interesting. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. After 7 o'clock, yes, it is the talk of politics after 7 o'clock, and we will talk about the upcoming, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about the upcoming election, but on the Sunday spin, Rick Pearson will be, former Illinois Republican Chairman Pat Brady and Democratic political consultant Thomas Bowen and former Tribune reporter Bob Sector join Rick for a 90-minute political roundtable. I suspect that they could go 90 hours and talk about politics. Kristen Lanigan is in the studio. We're talking about Friends of Animal Care and Control. And I mentioned that I just got back from the Western Veterinary Conference. And I walk into the exhibit hall. And who do I see but Cesar Millan? I was actually in the exhibit hall to meet the largest Great Dane in North America who was at this event. Really, actually, a very, very sweet dog, Kristen. The Great Dane I'm talking about, not Cesar. No. And I didn't know about the pig. I knew that there was something that went on with pigs. That's all I knew. So I didn't ask him about it because I didn't know about it. But I walk into the exhibit hall. There he is. And I chit-chat with him for a couple of minutes. And we just chit-chatted. You know, he mentioned that his kids have some new show on Nickelodeon. And I said to him, that's scary. And he kind of laughed like that's some sort of compliment of some, but I'm really worried about it. Cesar, I remember in the first story I wrote years ago, I called him the dog screamer. And that's essentially what he's doing. He's not at all whispering. There's nothing subtle about what he does. And while his personal timing is actually generally okay with dogs, the problem is if you're on television, you know others may do as you do. And I think historically that's downright dangerous. And also a lot of what he talks about is just made up. It isn't science. It's just self-science. It's what Cesar Millan thinks, but a lot of it is just plain wrong. And it leads people to go in directions that might even be dangerous. He doesn't seem to mind getting bitten by a dog, but we all do. And if that happens because something is replicated in someone's home because of what's on television, we believe that is downright dangerous. And I was on the board of the American Humane Association at the time. When I say we believe, you're talking about an entire board that went to National Geographic and said, you at least need to put warnings. Don't try this at home. So now you've got a dog training show for years that actually has warnings saying don't try this at home, which should tell everyone something about the show. but it didn't seem to help in the sense the viewership didn't really go down. It did go down over the years, and I think that's in part just a result that he was on so many years. But this one episode has, and you can Google it and see what I'm talking about, there's a couple of pigs, two or three pigs in a large pen, a very large area. The pigs are just wandering around doing their thing, and this dog apparently has some history of attacking pigs. And at some point, I mean, this dog is really stressed out, very anxious. The dog is on a leash, just sniffing around. And then for some reason, he lets the dog off leash. The dog bites at one or two of the pigs. One of those pigs gets somewhat seriously injured and is bleeding and worse. And Milan is chasing the dog all over the pen. It was a disaster. And there are certainly animal welfare concerns, if not legal concerns, about the way in which these pigs were treated. But above and beyond that, what did he teach the dog? You know, nothing, except just made the dog's anxiety worse, I think. So I will be writing about this on my blog, in fact, tomorrow, stevedale.tv. It's stevedale.tv. So you are not here to hear any of this, Kristen. I want to hear. I want to hear about the big benefit coming up. It's Tuxes and Tails.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Yes. So we're really excited. You know, Steve, we have an annual benefit called the Big Night every October, but we wanted to stretch ourselves as an organization this year, and boy, did we stretch. And this will be our first annual Tuxes and Tails held at the Waldorf Astoria on Walton Street.
Ooh, fancy, fancy.
And they're wonderful. They're a pet-friendly hotel, so they were really happy, and they've been a wonderful partner of ours.
Tell me about the event.
The event's going to be a black tie event, thus the Tuxes and Tails, and that's T-A-I-L-S and not tails in your tux. Suits are fine, but it'll be a fun night. It'll be lovely. We have high-end spirits and wines and dinner and dancing and sweet tables. A couple dogs will be there that we recently rescued, the Gabor sisters. They are Bichon Frises. And our very own Lori Lamantia eyed them coming into the shelter, and we rescued them right away, and they will be there. So they're getting cleaned up as we speak, and they're settling into their foster homes, and they have a clean bill of health, and they will be there for adoption that evening.
That is wonderful. So tell me more about how people can learn more about the event and actually go to the event.
Sure. So the event is held on April 9th. It'll start at 7 p.m. And you can purchase tickets or on our website at www.fcacc.org. That's .org. And you'll see a link there to our event for Tuxes and Tails at the Waldorf. And you can purchase tickets online, or feel free just to email us and we can hook you up. You can call in your order as well.
This is really important to support. I mean, it sounds like fun, you know, but and you get a great dinner. I mean, not just an okay dinner,
right?
But we're talking about an amazing four-star dinner.
Right, and a little dancing.
Yeah, which would, so how much is the event?
The event is $150.
So a nice night out, a dinner for two with nice spirits, you mentioned.
Right.
And I know you know about that area very well.
Yes.
What is he implying about her? I don't mean, this is the area you work in, so that's all I'm saying, right? So
right.
You know what a quality wine is. So to get that, like a bottle of wine, having a really nice dinner at a four-star restaurant is going to cost you more than $150 per person.
At least.
And you get, right, and plus you get, you mentioned dessert tables, plural.
Yes.
I love that. And yes. In addition to that, you're also talking about the music, the dancing, having a good time, and it's a tax write-off, and you help animals. This seems to be actually kind of a bargain if you want a fancy night out.
This is definitely a bargain. This type of event would normally, I'd pay around $250 for it. Just the hotel alone is beautiful. It's a wonderful experience. And then the food and entertainment to boot, we have Sam Ocean, who will be playing for us. We have the Four Strings performing during dinner. So it will be a lovely, lovely event. And people who are filled with passion for animals who are donating their time and talents.
Yeah. Who are the Four Strings?
They are a quartet of violinists.
These are the guys that have been at your friend's event for a couple of years.
No, this is, they're new.
Okay.
They're new to us. So those were the violin girls.
Ooh,
that we
enjoyed
have at Big
those.
Night.
Yes,
they're terrific.
Yes, they are.
They're terrific. So, and so we're continuing with the string tradition. We like the strings.
So how can people find out more about this?
They can go to our website at www.fcacc.org.
All right. Very good. Kristen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, what I'm going to do now is Rick Pearson, I guess, is running a little late. So I'm going to sort of fill in for Rick for the first part of his show. And I'll talk politics with all of you. But you also have something else coming up that I want to talk about after the news. So rather than have 10 seconds to squeeze it all in, can you hang around for a couple minutes, Kristen?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
That would be great. So, Mr. Schwani, Rick Pearson is running a little late this morning, so I'm going to be the Sunday.
Yeah, solve the mystery as to what happened. I see him well before the show starts.
Yeah,
starting to get worried.
Yeah, he's okay. Everything's fine. He'll be here in a little bit.
Jasmine brought me up to date about 20 minutes
ago.
Yeah,
so I'll be the Sunday spin. And I want to talk to you about what happened.
Yeah, that's a good term.
I will talk to you about what happened with Trump because I was out of town. So I just know little snippets that I saw. So I want to talk to you about that. But
I had calls from friends all over the country Friday night.
Because it's Trump. I'll talk to you about that in a minute here. Hold on, Dave. Because Kristen Lanigan is in the studio. Yes. Right. She is Friends of Animal Care and Control, the president of that organization. And we were talking about some of your events that you have coming up. And I was running out of time on my show. So I want you to finish up. You have something coming up that's really kind of exciting.
It is exciting, Steve. So next Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m., the rescue groups, which there are roughly 200 that pull from the shelter out there, can come down to the shelter and rescue cats and dogs, and we will pay for their rabies and also the snap tests for the cats. So it's hopefully we can support it a little bit more and just get more dogs and cats out of there. We're aiming for 100 animals next Saturday.
That would be incredible. So this is at Animal Care and Control, which is 7123 Southwestern Avenue?
On Southwestern, yes.
I've got it right?
Roughly, yes. It's 2715.
So I've got the numbers right, but the wrong order. But it's on Southwestern Avenue in Chicago.
Yes.
And again, when is this?
This is next Saturday.
This coming weekend.
Yes, okay. So the 19th. Mm-hmm. And we will be there. It's also an opportunity because the rescues will be there. They'll be talking about the opportunities to foster an animal. So if you're not ready quite yet to have an animal in your home for a long time, you can kind of try it out and provide a loving home for a homeless animal.
So where does one... And you're talking about saving a whole lot of money here because you're doing the vaccinating... Right?
Right.
Yeah, which is amazing. So where does one find out more about this?
They can go to our website at www.fcacc.org.
Which stands for Friends of Animal Care and Control. So give us that one more time.
It's www.fcacc.org. And that's next Saturday at 10 a.m., the 19th.
And what we always do is we podcast this radio show at WGNradio.com. So if you missed information about what's going on with Animal Care and Control in Chicago, later today, check it out, our podcast. Kristen Lanigan from the Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. You are a friend to all. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. You're a friend to me and all animals as well.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Sunday Spin for the moment without Rick Pearson. But he will be back in just a couple of minutes. So I want to talk about, and maybe you all can help me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-981-7200. Or you could text us. Here's what I want to know. What went on this week? It sounded crazy with Trump. I saw little snippets in the news. But what do you think? Who was wrong here? Was it the protesters? And did they go too far? Really? I mean... And you know, Chicago's gotten so much bad press. Does this make it worse? Or do you not blame Chicago and say, you know what? This is happening all over the country, and it's Trump inciting all of this. I want to know what you think about it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. right here, 720 WGN Chicago. It's 7:11. Good morning. Good morning. It is 7:14 on WGN. This is the Sunday Spin. I'm Steve Dale for the moment, filling in for Rick Pearson, who will be here in a couple of minutes. Most important, I'm talking to you, Jill. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. My two kitties here are good, too.
Thank you.
You've given me a lot of good advice over the years.
Thank you.
I'm in Milwaukee, so I was got out of work and turned on the radio and heard Rokan broadcasting this. And I got to say, you know, I'm not real thrilled with the tactics that the protesters took. One, being 51, I tend not to get all my advice from 18 to 22-year-olds.
Okay. Well, and so here's the thing. Do you think it was Trump's fault, quote unquote, for inciting all this, or did Chicago really look bad and we're a bunch of thugs?
He's got the right to be an idiot, but I think it looks like thugism. It looks extremely rude. It's dangerous to the people there, even if you think they're very wrong-minded. There were families, there were older people.
That's true.
It was a potentially dangerous situation. They were going maybe up to Trump Towers. Who's at Trump Towers at that time? The cleaning crew. And I don't think you win hearts and minds that way. You win hearts and minds, I would say to those kids, if you're Bernie Sanders supporters, he was speaking at the high school. Go support him. If you're a Hillary supporter, go volunteer. Go make calls. Go canvass. I just think that what happened there is his supporters are just more galvanized and saying, "Look at these uncontrollable people."
So this was more bad publicity for Chicago, essentially, is what you're saying.
It does not make me want to go to Chicago between the shootings and all that. I know a couple years ago my niece went down to Michigan Avenue to buy a prom dress, and I said, be careful, and my sister's like, it's Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I listen to the radio here in Milwaukee, and I think I'd be scared to go to your city. I think it's a blemish on your city.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying he isn't, you know, pushing people's buttons. And
I get what you're saying. Thank you very much. And what really makes me sad, I mean, I love Milwaukee, but what really makes me sad is that there's a fear of Chicago that seems to grow all the time. And it makes me sad because I think it's greatly unfounded. Sally, welcome to WGN. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, I just want to say I'm not a pet owner, but I listen to your show every Sunday because I just like your conversation.
Oh, thank you. I get so many comments like that. And especially, so over the years I've received countless, you know, hundreds and hundreds of comments just like that. I don't have a pet, but I enjoy listening to you. But when you say this on Sunday morning when I'm on from 6:30 to 7, well, that's even more complimentary. But you can get more of me on Steve Dale's Other World on a podcast at WGNplus.com.
Okay.
It's easy to find. Sally, so what do you think about all this?
Well, as I was telling your producer, either Trump's campaign manager is very smart, very savvy, or he's stupid, because you don't book a Republican in U of IC Pavilion, which is in the middle of U of IC campus, which is a liberal Democratic neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just don't do that. So, like, you know, either he did it purposely.
Aha. So I want
that,
Sally, I want to stop you there. So do you think this was a great point? Maybe. Do you think this was all orchestrated by Trump's people who said,
yes.
Oh, really? That they actually knew that this was type of thing, maybe not this exact, but this type of thing would happen, and that it would get all this national publicity as a result. You thought that, wow.
Because where is UIC? It's in the middle of a Democratic district. The campus is known for, you know, Democratic protests and movements, so, you know, liberal-type Yeah, exactly. I think they know what they're doing, and doesn't make Chicago look bad. Well, Chicago's been looking bad for the past year.
Now, so, Sally, you know, Sally.
I hate to say that, but also, you don't go into a Trump rally with Bernie Sanders signs. You know, I mean, it was just a meeting of two worlds that were going to clash.
So let me ask you a question. If I were to go to a Bernie Sanders rally with Trump signs, do you think Bernie Sanders would have pointed me out and said, "You're out of here," or whatever Trump says? I mean, that's what Trump and Trump's people do.
I'm just going to guess and say no, he wouldn't. But the person or persons would not be welcome. Okay, they would probably not be welcome. You know, it's just like when the president talks and he gets a heckler. You know, he talks back to the heckler, and eventually the heckler is taken out. All right, so. But there are just some things you just don't do. Like you don't go to a funeral in T-shirt and shorts.
Well, I get the idea of what you're saying, but I think Trump sometimes goes a bit further, Sally. Sally, thank you so much for the call. Thank you. Our next caller, 312-981-7200, is, Rick Pearson. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay.
The kind of days that I've been running lately, I have to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, Chicago's been in the news. And my question to folks, and I'm curious as to what your take on this was, and we've heard from some interesting telephone callers here that this was all orchestrated by Trump. He knew that there would be a protest, a huge protest. He knew it was where he was in Chicago. He knew this would make national news, and knowing Mr. Trump, right? I mean, this is what he's all about. Do you think it was orchestrated?
Knowing the Trump campaign, it as clever as people think Donald Trump is, the Trump campaign is not very organized. I mean, I think, sure, he loves the attention. Certainly in canceling the rally, knew it was going to gain a lot of attention.
I heard that he canceled the rally, and he said he talked to the Chicago Police Department in doing so, but then the police later said, no, he really didn't talk to us.
Police, Chicago CPD, said they were informed afterwards that it was canceled.
After the fact.
After the fact.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is Donald Trump. He says a lot of things, goes way out there on the tightrope, and often is not consistent with what the facts are.
All right. Do you need a moment? Or?
I think we're all good.
All right.
Steve, I thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate it so much, and I apologize to everybody. You know, here we get the time change. I was joking about, of all of the weekends, to lose an hour is the weekend I can least afford to lose an hour.
Oh, man, you filled in for me when I was stuck in the elevator that time. I remember,
well,
so it's no problem.
Turnabout fair play. All right.
You bet.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
I appreciate it so much. Thanks.